Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Stoney's Radio. And this is Stoney. Happy New Year to you all again. I am off on my daytime job today and I had a little time to do something extra. So I am doing a show today at noon, which is now, and I will be doing a show tonight, my normal time, at 6:30. So you get a double dose of me today. I hope that you guys are enjoying the day off and that you are enjoying your new year, which is a blessing to us all that we are alive and well, and that we are here. Now, the topic today is chaos in the workplace. Have we not all experienced chaos in the workplace? No matter where you work, there will be difficult people everywhere. Now, there is a negative and a positive to this. So I was reading that some companies embrace chaotic situations. Not sure why, but as I read on, it stated that in a time of uncertainty, the temptation is to create more structure and order in a workplace because that makes, however, in times of uncertainty, you also need a lot of innovation, and oftentimes the way to foster innovation is by bringing organized chaos into the system. Now, given an example of a chaotic situation is one of, of several things. Now, in the last several years, even, the military, they also use chaotic situations. I guess this is implemented to keep their soldiers in line. I think that when you are faced with a level of uncertainty about your job, you tend to do better, or you tend to work harder. So, excuse me, I am speaking on this on personal experience, and a lot of things that I talk about is on personal experience, but not in a negative way. Sometimes we get comfortable, and I've spoken about being comfortable in certain situations, and sometimes things are brought in the surface to be able to shake your world to allow you to appreciate what you have. Your job is not promised to you. It is not a guarantee. Even though the company may be thriving, there may be a slight, not such a heavy turnover, you are replaceable. So sometimes when these problematic issues arise and your higher up is not correcting the problem, a platform for them to remind you that you are replaceable. So they make you uncomfortable, one, if they're trying to get rid of you, two, if you want to be there and if you want to stay there, three, on how to handle adversity. Now, this new approach that some companies are taking can make the mistake of trying to force the new generation into a mold, or can view their approach as a new model for doing business. Sometimes can become can cause you to hire weird people. And what they do is, when the company hire weird people to intentionally shake things up, this create a more lateral communication and try to foster the conditions for serendipity to occur. Sometimes chaos is imperative. The same old in the workplace. Some chaos is scary, but it is uncontrollable and unpredictable. But companies can actually contain chaos and seed pockets of see pockets of it throughout the organization. Now, the idea here is that chaos can be extremely productive force. The question, though, is how to manage it. What happens if companies don't handle the chaos and when it happens, and what happens when they keep putting it off? Now, virtually everywhere we look, companies, they're instilled too much structure, okay? You risk shutting out the creative voices or overstructuring meetings and therefore creating a bureaucracy within the company, and most tragically, maintaining an environment that is hostile to innovation. So when companies allow this to happen, they are shaking things up so that you can remember that you are replaceable. Now, on the positive note, how to deal with difficult people in the workplace. Now, from time to time, you're gonna cross the threshold into your employer's building each day. And there's going to be a time when you leave, you're going to be just frustrated because, one, you may have not been able to complete an important assignment. You have not been able to communicate well with your peers. And this all could be due to chaos in the workplace. So, therefore, sometimes when you go there and you cross the threshold and you have to come in and you say good morning, and then you have this one difficult person that doesn't say good morning back, or they say good morning in a nasty way, you know that if you respond to that in a negative way, that it's going to create and trickle an awful, awful bad day for you and for the office. So at that moment, you have to make the decision to fake it until you can make it. And when I say that, I don't say that in a negative way. I say that because you do not want to work in a negative environment. Not all day. Not at all. So the best thing that you can do is respond in a positive manner to that negative individual. And sometimes I know that that is the hardest thing that you could do daily. Now, how I would deal with someone that is a negative individual and which is creating problems in the workplace. I personally would call them out on the problem, okay? Call them out on the problem and first ask them humbly if they have an issue with me. Well, we already know that you have an issue with me because you are continuously there is a problem because there's continuous of chaos. Now, the problem that we have when you're dealing with the problem is when we have problems in the workplace, and you try to resolve the issue in a positive manner, it continuously creates more. It's like putting gasoline on fire, okay? And it's just going to keep igniting. And then one day, it is going to explode. Like, that's the inevitable. You can only fake it for so long. You can only hold your tongue for so long. You can only be kind and humble to an individual so long. Now, I'm going to say previously I had an experience where I referred a lady to my job, okay? I was kind enough. My boss, who's a great lady, and I love her to pieces, because of her strength and the fact that she has a blind eye to the negativity of others, which is, I would say, is a good thing in some cases, but not so good in such other cases. And she was looking for someone, and I referred someone that I knew really wasn't on the up and up, but I thought that they would appreciate the opportunity. That didn't work out, okay? For me, it didn't work out because what has happened is, and I'll do a show about manipulators, this woman has come in. I have a specific job assignment that I do. And what this woman has done, she has made it appear on the slick that I'm not doing my job. She beats me to answer the customer service call. She beats me to go ahead and do the billing. She go ahead and do this and do that. And it's like, okay, you're not doing this to anyone else, but you're doing this to me. Why? And I brought you here. You had gone many years without a job. No one will hire you because they saw through your BS. No one will hire you. They knew that you were problematic by looking at you. So I referred you, and then what you do to me, you try to pull the rug from under me because you are a jealous and cold-hearted individual. Saying that, if I ever get in the position again where somebody needs a job, she has eliminated that for me because I will never bring anyone that I know to a place where I am earning my paycheck. And since this woman has been there, my money has come to a standstill. No overtime, no raises. I have been reviewed as the bad guy constantly over and over and over again. I have been yelled at. I have been talked to like a child. I have been insinuated that my job, that I have not done my job. So when you're dealing with chaos in the workplace, it is difficult to go in and want to do your best because they're already thinking that you are doing something wrong. So in your mind, you're like, why should I go above and beyond when you have the woman who, when I had a conversation with my boss the other day, because initially my boss said that if there was a problem that she would get rid of the lady, but she didn't honor her word. So now her position has changed, and she says, well, I'm not going to get rid of her. And I'm like, wow. She says she hasn't done anything to cause me to get rid of her. And I'm like, wow. Well, calling you out of your name, calling your boss out of your name, out of her name, in the first 90 days of your probation, warrant a termination. Lying on the person that got you the job, saying that they're talking to you in a nasty manner, and I haven't done anything to you, creating chaos in the workplace, calls for a termination of your job because you're not bringing positivity to the platform. You are bringing negativity. Point blank and simple. Stealing the keys from the company and making it look like somebody else did it, that's a warrant for termination. So you mean to tell me this woman has not done anything, and along with other stuff that I'm sure that you just don't know about, that you don't want to terminate her? So again, that goes to the other part. Are they keeping her there to keep the chaos going, to keep me in line, or to scare me away? Is that the tactic? Sometimes the employer creates the chaos, hiring weird people to keep employees in line, to remind them that, and to shake things up, that the reverse psychology, that they are replaceable. How do you, if you're listening today, how do you deal with difficult people in the workplace, and how do you deal with others? Because however it becomes extremely difficult if you don't know how to alleviate sources of chaos. Now, the key to getting rid of workplace chaos is to identify the source of the problem, and which we have, and to take a proactive measure to correct it always. But they choose not to. if you want to know the truth, they seem to be their best buddy. I'm the bad guy, it was. I come in, I speak, I do what I'm supposed to do, I smile. I think I'm doing my job, but not to the best of their ability. Everything I do is wrong now because of this woman that I brought in that is continuously trying to make me look bad. Now, you remember I talked about ugly people will try to do ugly things to ensure that they look good. And when I say ugly people, I don't mean just on the outside of the surface. I mean also on the inside. But here are some tips that could be done to create a better work environment. Create a daily task list or task. And now this task board should include every assignment you need to accomplish each day. In order of importance, create your task list as far in advance as possible. If you don't have a physical task board, use time to management software, alternative, or just use a notebook planner. That will be something that you could do. And when you start to have chaos in the environment, and I've spoken to attorneys about this, it is imperative that you document this stuff. You have to start keeping a written documentation of things that are said to you, what you say to others, what happened, if you have been written up, because it is illegal for an employer to create a hostile environment. A lot of people do not know about the workforce law and the EEOC work rules and regulations. A lot of people are not aware of that. So they feel like that they can just go in and get talked to any kind of way, yelled at, screamed at in the middle of the floor. No, 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 no. It doesn't work like that. An employer can get sued for yelling at you if they're not yelling at everybody else. If they're singling you out and they're talking to you stupid and not talking to everybody else stupid, they can get sued for that. That is a straight lawsuit, however you want it. Emotional distress, discrimination, whatever you want to call it. Are you being discriminated because of the chaos in the workforce, in the workplace? Are you being targeted? If they're going to fire you, write you up. Follow the park protocol. But the embarrassment, the yelling, the screaming at only you is illegal. You have to follow the protocol in order to terminate someone. However, if that person is aware of their rights as an individual, then they can turn around and sue their employer for discrimination. Because if you're not yelling at Susie and if you're not yelling at Johnny, then why are you yelling at me? If you take Johnny in the office and he's done something wrong, and you speak to him and you let him know, hey, I'm going to write you up the next time this happens, and no one else can hear that, you have followed the company policy and etiquette of an employer. But when you step to the forefront and you yell at a person in front of everybody and belittle them in front of their peers, why should their peers respect them? You've created more chaos. Why should your peers respect you if your boss is disrespecting you in front of them? You're creating more chaos in the workplace. First of all, there's no foundation of respect. When a person loses respect in a relationship, and a relationship is a work environment, then what? Their work performance is lower. They don't care. You're not reviewing them on their work performance. You're reviewing them on what other people are saying about them. So why should they come in, or why would they want to come in and jump over hurdles and go above and beyond when they're looked at as a negative individual anyway? You're going to scream at them anyway. You threaten to fire them anyway. So what's the point? A chaotic work environment can be changed by the leader. Some things should not be entertained in the workplace. Point blank and simple. Some people, when they have shown that they are problematic and they are not bringing forefront positivity to the workforce, how will your company grow as a company if you have chaotic people in the workplace? Low-flamed individuals who only want to keep up disturbance. And then let me tell you something. This only, in this magnitude, only happens with women. Only women create so much dramatic problems in the workforce, in the office, in the fast food industry, whatever. Because what another woman is worried about is if the other woman is looking better at her job than the other woman. Is she doing a better job? Is she looking better than I am? It's always a competition with the other woman. And especially African-American women at that. Because what has happened as for African-American women, we have already from slavery been programmed to dislike each other from, oh, she's light-skinned, oh, she's dark-skinned, oh, the light-skinned lady is in the kitchen and we out here picking cotton. This stuff has been instilled in us from generations ago. So it's no problem when you go into the workplace and you try to work with an African-American woman and she's worried about, oh, does the boss like her more than me? Well, let me do this. Let me outmaneuver her. Let me outshine her. Let me show I can do this. Why can't you just go in your office or go over there and flip your burgers the best you can and worry about you? Why is it that it has to be such a slave mentality about who picks more cotton in their bag? Or the white man. And I love everybody, but I'm just saying, why does it have to be when black women work together, who has more cotton in there? Who picked more cotton today? And that is sad because this is the problem. Black women cannot ever seem to love each other enough to unify anything because they're too busy being in competition and creating chaos. This is why it is difficult for me as an African-American woman to trust another African-American woman in the workplace to be friends with her because they're always trying to look to the left and the right at what you're doing and create this chaos in the workforce so that they can look better than you. And it's not about that. Not about that at all. I do not believe a person can pick you up off the ground and then once they pick you up off the ground, slap you in the face at the same time. I don't believe a person whose intentions are to help you will turn around to hurt you. But I do believe that a snake will allow you to pick him up off the ground and then he will bite you. I do believe that. That I do believe. Excuse me. I do have a slight cough today. So when you're dealing with chaos in the workplace and people saying that you're not doing your job, you want to plan ahead. You want to stick to your daily routine. And by doing so, you want to be able to focus and maximize your day. Instead of wandering through the day, not getting anything done or accomplished, keep your task board in front of you as soon as you get through your daily routine. This serves as a constant reminder of your daily work goals. You should always keep daily work goals. Check your email periodically throughout the day. Instead of leaving your email program open all day, emails can be a major distraction. If you're not careful, you will spend most of your day checking and responding to emails without meeting any of your other work goals. Consider checking your email 2 to 3 times per day unless your employer requires you check email more frequently. Now, here's another thing. Monitor your time spent away from your desk. This is another problem. You have people in the office that are like security guards. You always got those one or two people that are always snitching. They watching you more than they watching their monitor, their screen. So if you go to the restroom, to the kitchenette, get something to drink or something to eat, They're watching you like they're in Walmart. How many times do you want to get some water? How many times you went to the restroom? So minimize, monitor the time you spend away from your desk. As long as you're on company time, the goal is to be productive. Resist the temptation to socialize with coworkers before your daily goals are accomplished. Now, take a breather. If you find yourself getting stressed out, sit back in your chair and relax by doing so 5 to 10 minutes of breathing or meditation, exercise to calm you down. Failing to take a deep breather when you find yourself stressed out, it also can jeopardize your production for the remainder of the day. It also can jeopardize your communication with your peers, how you respond to them when you are stressed out, and you're already in a chaotic situation. Okay, there's already tension in the air. So, therefore, when you are not taking a deep breath, now, at my other company, I was a team leader before for many years, and what we did was at 2 o'clock every day, I had a boombox. I would get all of my crew up out of their desk, and we would do ergonomics, and I would lead the group into a 10, 15-minute ergonomic, moving about, marching in place, rolling on our necks, deep breathing. And in the early 90s, 2000, I'm sorry, in the early 2000, late 90s, it was not considered yoga, but that's what it is. So implement some yoga in the workplace, in your office, at your stand, whatever. Because when you get oxygen to the brain, this allows you to function better. You want to be a productive, function, happy individual. That is what you want to be in the office, in the workplace. You want to be pleasant. You want to be kind. You do not want to be problematic. That is not what you want to bring to the table, to any relationship. Because when you bring that type of attitude, you burn bridges. I have not burned a bridge that I have crossed. I have built them. And I would say that as opposed to one relationship that I was in a real relationship. He said that I burned the bridge. No, you burned the bridge. I did not. I built it and you burned it. I am a bridge builder. Okay? I don't tear down. Every bridge I have crossed, I can turn around and walk back across it. Because that has always been my attitude. If I go somewhere and I have worked for you and you have seen me maybe years later, you light up. Because that is the impression that I have left you. I have never left anyone with an impression of, oh my God, there's Sony. Let me turn around. The day that I left prison, the warden came to see me. That is how pleasant I was for 7.5 years. So if you're in a prison setting and you are loved by the administration there, then you have done and you are an exceptional individual. There is nothing else nobody can say. Anything else said after that is a lie. Anything else created after that is a lie. Because if you can live in a hostile prison setting for 7.5 years without a write-up, and people love you, and people come out to see you when you fare well, that is exactly who you are, an exceptional individual. Now, I wish I could have burned that bridge because I don't want to cross that bridge again, but I didn't burn that bridge. You never know who you're going to network with again, or who you're going to see again, who's going to remember you and say, you know what, that's a hard worker. That's a lovely lady. That's a lovely young man. I want her because I remember her in my circle. Yeah, she has made some mistakes. She has done something wrong. She has paid her debt to society. But you know what? This is one honest and loyal person that I want on my team. Nobody can come to me and tell me nothing about anybody because God gave me 2 eyes and 6 senses of my own. You can't come to me and tell me, if I was the boss, you can't come to my office and tell me, well, Sheila is doing this. I know Sheila. I interviewed Sheila. I know what she's capable of. I know the personality that I hired. Get out of my office because you're creating chaos with your jealousy and your envy. Get out of my office. Because you are envious of Sheila. you are upset with Sheila because you're not making the money that Sheila is making. You're not dressing the way Sheila is dressing. You don't understand how Sheila can come in here every day after doing time, after losing her mother, after losing her brother, and still smile and give this company excellent customer service. Get out of my office. Go do your job, is what I would say to the chaotic individual. Because chaos is built off of jealousy. That is what chaos is built off of. It is built from jealousy, from looking to the left, looking to the right, worrying about the next man. So you create this turmoil inside. And then you go whispering about people. Oh, girl, did you see what Sheila had on today, girl? She's sitting over there on the internet, ain't doing nothing all day. I got to do all this work today. No, you just created a lie on Sheila. So what was Sheila doing before you got to that company? Was Sheila not working? Are you serious? So Sheila been here all this time before you got here, and all of a sudden, when you get here, she decides she's going to quit working? Get out of my office. Get out of my office with the chaos, because that's what you're creating. If I was the boss, get out of my office, because you're on some BS. You're here causing disturbance. You're here. You're the snake. You are the snake, and only snakes smile and hiss at the same time. That is what I have to say about that. I love this radio show because I get to use my platform to talk about whatever I like. And guess what? It's my show. If you don't like it, you ain't got to tune in. But I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. Resist the temptation to help. Resist the temptation to help. Another coworker with her job duties become completing before completing your own daily task list. This can be a difficult thing to do, especially if you are an individual who has a hard time saying no. Understanding that your employer hired you to do a specific job, your coworker's job is not your responsibility. Although it is okay to be a team member to help out at times if you have the free time. Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about if you're not giving Sheila the opportunity to do her job because you want to look like you're the woman, you're the man, so you just go over there and start doing Sheila's job. Why are you doing that? Why are you creating chaos? Why are you creating animosity? You don't have anything else to do. Your mission is when you wake up in the morning is I'm going to cause problems in the office today for Sheila. That's your goal. That is a miserable goal. It's to wake up and put your clothes on, put your shoes on, and set out on a journey and to cause havoc in someone else's life. Who does that? That takes a lot of work. You're working overtime because you're doing your work, their work, plus the devil's work. You're overtime and you're only getting paid one salary for all of that work. Sit down somewhere and stop creating havoc and chaos. Eliminate personal distraction as much as possible. This means no texting or making personal cell phone calls. When you should be working, stay off social media websites. Only surf the internet when it is necessary to perform your duties. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. Every now and then I would surf the internet, read something. But you got the people walking around looking in your office telling on you. Oh, Bonnie's on it. Mind your business. So, no, I don't surf the web anymore. I don't. So, yes, I should be working when I come there. I should be putting in more effort. I should be. Well, I will be. But it is hard when you are working to deal with difficult people and chaotic people, and to stay focused in your office and do what you are supposed to do. Those are some of the tips that I have come up with, and that I have I just wanted to say, if you have projects that you're working on, stay on the project. Don't forget to take a break when you start to feel overwhelmed. Make suggestions to your supervisor about positive ways to make the office environment less chaotic. And if you believe he or she might be receptive to such ideas, head up a small group to evaluate the workflow. For example, now, if that's one of the main factors contributing to the chaos, recommend a computer-based tool to remind people of deadlines and meeting times if this is one of the problems adding to the insanity. He or she might well appreciate the improvements in key areas, especially if they do not have to figure out how to solve the problems themselves. Now, I think that what would make the office a better place is when you find out that these people are problematic, you eliminate them from the workplace. I think that is imperative because the time that you have to stop to continuously counsel, come out of that bathroom, to continuously counsel the negative individual, that is when you continuously have problems. So I feel that if you eliminate the negative person that works there, then you can continue to have your numbers in your company soar, because it takes a positive team to keep a company growing. It does. And people who are willing to work and work in the arena in which you put them in. When I go to my office, I'm not trying to do Sheila's job, Jackie's job, Anna's job. I am trying to do the best job that my boss, who believed in me enough to hire me, to do. Okay? So all I'm saying is, if you're working in the workplace and you have chaotic and difficult people, find a way to eliminate responding to them in a more negative way. Keep a track of the things that you have said to them via email. If you are, and another thing about the workplace, a lot of jobs have clauses. Elena, a lot of people will have, where are your clothes? A lot of people, go in my bathroom. A lot of people have you signed clauses that you're not supposed to be on the internet. Now, that you're not supposed to mention negative things about your coworkers on social media. If you do not sign anything of this nature, the company has no right to look at your Facebook page. If they hear something about your Facebook page, they cannot counsel you about it because you have not signed anything. Now, the company does have that right if they review, if you're logged into your computer at work to social media and that social media is logged in on their computer, they have the right to review your Facebook page from their property. But if you have not signed anything saying that clauses, anything outside, you could call the president of the company a slouch potato head, okay, and put it on social media. But if you have not signed anything agreeing that you would not say those things and that it can result in termination, no one has the right to counsel you about your Facebook page. Sometimes as employers, we forget or they forget that the employee have rights and that all employees, because they decide to work for a company, are stupid. That is the thing there. So all I'm saying is, if you work in a chaotic place, either the company is endorsing the chaos, the madness to keep you on your toes, or they just like to embrace low-flame individuals to bring chaos to the company, and it's something that they don't care to get rid of. Well, Looks like I had a topic today that no one wanted to call in about, so I am going to end my segment 20 minutes early. If you are listening to my program today, I want to say thank you for listening to Chaos in the Workplace. I hope that if you are listening, that this has been beneficial to you and how to handle individuals as such and why there are chaotic people in the workplace, and especially women. You have never really gone to an office where two men are fighting over work assignments. That's just not the case. Men are so focused on their muscles and how good they look in their slacks. And if they're looking good for the hot Sheila in the office, that they're not worried about coming to your desk, taking over your job. They do not care. They're like, mo' pie with you, blah, meet you at lunch, okay? So this is mainly for the women because women usually have these issues of jealousy to create the hostile work environment. All right. I want you guys to have a great day. You'll hear from me later on today at 6:30, and be blessed.